Life is getting harder to figure out. Have you noticed? The world is increasingly complex, and more of its problems seem like they have no clear-cut solutions. Based on research at Fuller Institute, Michaela O'Donnell and Lisa Pratt Slayton, they come to this conclusion. To be a citizen of the modern world is to live a life of turbulence. A life of turbulence. Does it feel like it's getting easier and easier today? Or do you feel like life is more turbulent? Do you feel like it's so much simpler? Your life is so much more calm than ever before. Or is it becoming more volatile, more ambiguous, more complicated? More or less? Is your life more or less predictable? Is your life more or less peaceful? Is your life more or less calm? What have you noticed? Modern research, modern life is now a near constant flow of disruption and change. And everything seems busier, it seems more complex, it seems just harder to figure out. In other words, it's not just you. If you've been feeling like, man, I don't know how to do this, I think most of us are feeling that way. It's the life we live in, the world we live in. You're not the only one that is feeling the strain. We are all in it. It's the life. It's life now. So the question is, here's the question, can you keep up? Can you keep up? Can you handle the pace of change? Bruce Feiler's research called Life in Transition, it reveals that you go through significant transitions in your life about every 12 to 18 months. So something happens, you finally start to get settled with it, and something else happens. Something piles upon something else. That's about 40 disruptions in your lifetime. That's a lot. About the time you think you're figuring it out, everything changes. And then add to that, he calls... you'll experience on average 3 to 5 dramatic transitions, major life quakes, he calls them. These are the things that just really shake you to the core, like the death of someone you love deeply. Including in these kinds of things, also you add adverse childhood experiences, things that we all probably experience in trauma in life, and they help make it more difficult for us to navigate the challenges that we are facing. So what does all this mean for you? Your life is in constant turmoil. Now you can say, I don't know, I'm pretty peaceful, but the reality is, for almost all of us, our lives are constant turmoil. So why am I pointing out the obvious today? What's the point of something that we are already aware of, something that we already feel? Well, because I think we are conditioned for stability, and we want to control our lives. It's a natural kind of makeup of who we are, and you likely have come to expect in your life calm and peace, or if you don't expect it, at least it's what you want, and that makes you and me very uncomfortable in the chaos, to the point that we want to avoid it at all cost. But that actually seems like a losing battle in today's ever-changing world. So is there another way to look at change that won't leave you and I feeling anxious and in stress and reeling? Well, all the evidence seems to point to what the prophet Daniel found out long ago, that the rate of change is only increasing. The Lord said to Daniel, when he had a prophecy, he said, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Things are just going to become more and more complex. I want you to think about AI technology right now. I mean, this is one of the major life transitions that the world is facing and cultures are facing and you and I are facing. I was on a Zoom call, so for some of you that's new, you know, a Zoom call, the video call that became so popular in the last 5 years, and on that Zoom call there's an AI bot that at the end of our conversation it summarized everything and put it out in bullet points in just seconds. When we were done conversing, there it was. So your shopping apps that you go on, they already know what you want before you do. Probably even fill your cart for you. These major technology shifts, they're affecting life on average right now about every 7 years, like huge changes that just shift all of the way we do things. And it's speeding up. Whether you directly use it or don't directly use it, it doesn't really matter. It's still impacting the culture and the lives around us. So it's here to stay, it looks like. But the problem is, here's the problem, our brains actually cannot handle that pace of change. It takes human brains about 10 years to adjust and navigate to those kinds of changes. That means that we are continually getting more and more behind. So you not only struggle to keep up with all the challenges, you can't keep up with all the challenges. This was a profound realization for me when I heard this, and maybe someone listening here today also needs to hear this. You can try to keep up with everything. You can try working harder. You can tighten your schedules. You can try being more focused, but you can't do it all. There's just no way. Your brain, your body, your physicality is not wired to do it. Life is changing too fast. And to coin the phrase by O'Donnell and Slayton, life is in flux. So if we're going to accept that constant change is here to stay, if we're going to continue to be of the world, or not of the world, but in the world, right? If we're going to continue to be part of humanity, can you find a place to be content in it? Can we find a place where we actually can have peace even though everything around us is in constant flux? The Apostle Paul, he offers a clue for us in the Bible, in the letter of Philippians. You can read this. Philippians 4, 12 through 13. He says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So life in flux and change, I can be content. He says, I know, say I know, what it is to be in need. I'm guessing most of you know what it is to be in need. He says, I know what it is to have plenty. Some of us have had seasons of plenty. I have learned, he says, the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength, through Christ who gives me strength. So in other words, he found a way to be content even when the world was constantly changing and shifting, and that contentment was found in Jesus Christ. In fact, that contentment is Jesus Christ. Paul says he can do all things, even find peace in the middle of chaos. He can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. And here's the key, you can too. So can you. I think that's the good news of the gospel today. You know, we can try and strive to keep up in a situation where we know we just can't. Or we can turn to Christ and actually find peace in the middle of the chaos. We can live amongst the chaos and know peace. Interesting. In my first trip to the Boundary Waters, I was awestruck by what true wilderness looked like. No civilization around, just trees and water and sky. I had never been there before, so I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where I was. Pastor Tom, he was the guide on the experience, and he was navigating with a detailed map of the shoreline and the trailheads, and no, we did not have GPS at the time. So he decided I should give navigation a try. So I took the map, and I lined it up with what looked like trees and sky and water, and then started paddling. The problem was the contours of the map, they didn't actually seem to match what the shoreline looked like. And all I could pick out was trees, water, and sky, right? What I thought would be the trailhead on the map just turned out to be another bend in the shoreline, and everything seemed to be changing after that. So when I realized I didn't actually know where I was, I got a little unnerved. And Pastor Tom, he didn't seem to suggest that he knew either. You know, you might understand this. It's a strange and uncomfortable feeling to be lost in the wilderness, even if you're just a little bit lost. It's all of a sudden like, I don't know where I am. All I could do was to slow down, read the map the best I could, and then go through the uncertainty to the next bend, not knowing for certain if I was on course until I actually got there. And then based on what I could find, or what I found there, I could course correct and continue on until I finally found the Portage Trail. I think that's a great illustration of life today. Things are constantly changing, and we actually don't know what is around the bend. We might think we can find our way by speeding up or catching up or keeping up, but it doesn't work that way. You won't know what's around the bend until you slow down, until you orient to your surroundings, and when you take the time to understand where you are right now and maybe what needs to change, and I don't necessarily mean change around in the world, but what needs to change in you, then you can reorient based on what you discover. Then you can take the next step. Stop. Say stop. Look. Say look. Listen. Reorient. Then go on. Stop, look, listen, reorient, then go on. Would have been much more helpful if these were on the screen, right? The contentment that Paul finds in this process of change is the Lord. And the psalmist, he gives us guidance in Psalm 90. We heard this during worship. It says, Lord, through all generations, you have been our home. The Lord is the one who is the constant. He is the one we come home to. He is the one where we find the peace of his presence. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. In a sea of constant change, God is unchangeable. God is the constant. In the letter of Romans, Paul writes that in all these things, we don't need to be afraid. He says, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, including the rapid pace of change in our world today, anything in all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So one of the ways to capture our bearings in this constant change is to practice the discipline of Sabbath rest. So rather than rushing to keep up, you do the opposite. We stop and rest. So we find this Sabbath rhythm in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. You might not find this rule in a public building, a rule for life, but you will find it in your Bible. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And it says that God created everything in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, God rested. And he set aside that day, and he calls his people to work for 6 days and rest on the seventh, rest on the Sabbath. The thing about this command is that it's not for God. You know, we're not coming to worship. We're not resting for God. You know, God desires our worship, yes. We are made for worship, but this command is for you. This command is for me. This is for God's people, that they may rest and be renewed and refreshed by the presence and joy of experiencing God and celebrating who God is and celebrating the life that God has given us. Rest. You know, pastors also need to take a Sabbath rest. But we don't really do 3-day Labor Day weekends because Sunday always has a habit of falling right in the middle of it. I just said that the Sabbath rhythm is important, but it's a different rhythm for Cheryl and I because our Sabbath actually begins now following worship. And we come to worship and then Sabbath begins when everybody else leaves. So we are practicing Sabbath rest. This weekend we are going to go, after worship, we're going to go up to Itasca Park and spend a couple days through Tuesday and then come home Tuesday evening. So we're intentionally practicing this rhythm that God calls us to. And let me give you a little context for it. Even when everything is going to kick off next week and there's so much to do, we all feel that way, right? How can I rest when there's so much to do? Well, it's counterintuitive, but God says, this is what you do. Jesus said, remain in me, and I also will remain in you. No branch. Your branch, right? You're the stick. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, Jesus said, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a rhythm of life called remaining. And remaining is kind of the opposite of doing, right? It's the opposite of busyness. It's the opposite of doing more. It's like stepping back and stopping and listening and course correcting before you take the next step. Cheryl and I have grapevines growing out on the patio, on the pergola, and right now they're full of really juicy, sweet grapes. By the way, if you need some grapes, let me know. There's lots there. There's lots of grapes now, but in late May, when everything else around is blooming, the leaves are coming out, the grass is green, the flowers are coming up, those grapevines look completely dead. In fact, one year they looked so dead, and it was almost June, that I was pretty sure somehow I'd killed them. So I decided that I was going to cut off some branches and see, you know, if there was any life there. So I did. I whacked off a branch. And to my surprise, actually to my amazement, sap came pouring out of there. It didn't just like dribble. It just came running out of the vine. And it kept running to the point where I thought I probably damaged it. There was so much sap and water and fluid coming out. What I realized that even though it looked like it was dead, those roots had gone deep into the soil, and they had got all those rich nutrients, and they were bringing it up in full abundance, ready to burst. They were at work inside, even though it looked like they were dead. It's amazing, all that life from one vine, but none of it was visible. And that's what I think life transitions are like. You just don't know what's ahead. But you know it's not going to be the same. Jesus intended this vine and branch illustration to be very personal between you and him. You need to understand that even if you don't see much happening in your own life in spiritual formation, even if you're not sure why you are having to go through some difficult life transitions that you would much rather avoid, even when in the moment life seems completely unfigureoutable, God is at work. Things are happening. And remaining in Jesus will yield that confidence and courage that you need to take the next step, trusting the good work that God is already doing. In the book of Joshua, things were changing fast. This was unfigureoutable space for Joshua. He had to take account of the things that had changed. So if we read in verse chapter 1, 2, the Lord says to Joshua, "My servant Moses is dead." So this was a big transition. There was 40 years of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, including Joshua. They were led by Moses, a whole generation that lived and died under his anointed leadership, and now that was over. Big changes ahead. Not only that, but they were now called to go into this promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey that they had anticipated for all this time. But the dilemma was that they were facing walled military cities, and Joshua didn't have the experience of Moses. So God made it very clear to Joshua how this was going to work. I think this is kind of like how it works today. God said in Joshua 1:5, he said, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, never forsake you." So Joshua was in the position of having to completely trust God in the middle of the unfigureoutable. Say that with me once. Unfigureoutable. Yeah, good job. At this point, Joshua didn't know what was ahead. He didn't know what steps he needed to take. All he knew was that God was with him, and that gave him the courage to do the next step. So what uncertainty do you face today? What challenges and changes and life transitions are you facing? Maybe they're life quakes. Maybe you're reeling with things that you just have no control over. Maybe they're smaller one of the 40 that happened during your lifetime, but they've really thrown you off. Maybe it's just this whole sense that the world is speeding up and I can't keep up? What unknowns are holding you back? What can't you see yet, but it's got you stuck in fear? Is there something you need to maybe let go of in order to move in a new direction, a new thing that God has in store for you? What's your next step? Maybe it's simply sharing that struggle with a trusted follower of Jesus, a trusted friend, someone who knows you and can walk with you and most likely also is experiencing some kind of life change. I invite you to take that next step, trusting that Jesus won't leave you, he won't abandon you. In fact, he says to his disciples, he says this to you, remember this, I am with you always to the end of the age. In the middle of life's transition, wherever you are right now, you're not alone. Jesus is with you. One of the tools that helps us to navigate these life changes is that we don't go it alone. And next week, next Sunday, we're going to talk about that as we have kickoff Sunday. And I tell you that for this reason. On your seat, there is a little flyer that says, one plus one, one bring one. And the idea behind this is that you invite someone, your person, to come with you to worship on Sunday. And bring them. The message is going to be, stop going to church. Now, before that worries you, I want to tell you that it's not about not coming, not being present, but it is doing more than just going to church. It is about being the church in the world. And we do that as the body of Christ. We do that together. So my desire, and I hope yours too, is that more and more people experience what it means to be part of God's family, part of that fellowship of God as we focus on community together and what it means to be the church. So next week, one bring one. So the one plus one means one, you bring one dish to pass because it's a potluck, and one bring one person to share it with next week. So we don't have it all figured out. But we can take the next step. And we don't do it alone because we are better together. So more and more, life feels like we are in a fog. It's really hard to see what's ahead. You know where you want to go, but the way is unfigureoutable. So what do? Cut the engine. Slow down. Get quiet. Listen. And then trust God and navigate great change with even greater courage by remaining in Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that you call us to trust you. Lord, that in a life of extreme change, that you are present and that you are leading and that you are guiding. And even though there are things that we just cannot figure out, Lord, we can trust that you already knew them from the creation of the world. Lord, there's nothing that surprises you, nothing that comes that you are not aware of. And Lord, you already know the way forward. And so, Lord, help us to trust you, that you are our guide. Lord, that we can have peace and calm in the middle of the chaos. Lord, that we don't have to try to keep up, that we don't have to drive ourselves crazy, Lord, realizing that we never can keep up, but we can trust you. And Lord, find contentment and to find peace in your presence.